glorious day when Jesus Christ shall come. I long to see his blessed face, when all the saints throughout the ages shall be gathered home, the ones who trusted in his grace. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, to come and take me to my home beyond the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sometimes the road seems rough and hard, the pathway seems so long, but he is always by my side. He whispers loving words to me and tells me to be strong, that he will always lead and guide. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, to come and take me to my home beyond the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Day when through the air I'll go to meet the ones who've gone before. My trials, cares, my sorrows, tears will all be left below, and then my way will be complete. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long my King, to come and take me to my home beyond the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. I'm longing for Jesus to come back, for I long for Jesus Christ, my King.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning. And it's been a while since I've been here. Began to wonder if the preacher didn't like me anymore, but you know how it is. And, you know, he's taller than I am, so I'm going to stand up here. You know, now you feel more comfortable. I was going to preach from up there, but I'll use the wall up there as my screen, so that'll help. I don't know. I just love to come here because I love the music here. Jason is a pianist extraordinaire, and I thought about him and I, you know, getting a big bus and going on the road, but he's got other obligations now. He drives all the time. He don't want to drive on Sundays, too. But in any event, I appreciate all the good music here. It's always good to come and hear good music and enthusiastic music.
That's it.
Now, if I can just get you as enthused about the message as you are about the music, we'll be in good shape this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 14. Anybody did not get one of the handouts that wants one, we'll get you one if you need one. Here's what I would suggest to you this morning. I would suggest that even if you don't ordinarily take notes, that you take notes this morning, because I think the message will stand you in good stead in the storms of life. And that's what this message is all about. And I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word, if you would, please. And we're going to read together Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. And by the way, the second word in verse 22 is straightway. And I am now a member of the Straightway Baptist Church in Princeton, New Jersey. And it's a new church, and we're just ready to get into a brand new building. We've been meeting in a hotel, in a conference room in a hotel. And now, within hopefully 2 weeks, we'll be in our new facility. And so we'd appreciate your prayer concerning that. In verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit or a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway," there's that word again, I like it. "Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And let's bow our hearts in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank and praise you for your goodness today. We thank you for this passage of your word. We ask that you would bless it and use it for your glory. And we pray that the Holy Spirit of God will speak to our hearts today. We pray that this message will be comforting to God's people, will be helpful when they go through the storms. And we ask now that you would bless each heart, open each heart to the reception of your word, and to fill each heart with the Holy Spirit of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And how many, as a Christian, you've been through a storm in life? Would you raise your hand? You've been through something difficult, and you remember that. How many are in one right now? You're in a difficult time right now. Anybody? I know the preacher is. And by the way, you need to be praying for the pastor every day. Hello?
Yes.
It's okay to say amen. We're in church. You need to pray for the pastor every day.
Yes.
We pray for the your pastor every day. And we ask you to join us. How many do pray for the pastor? Don't lie. You're in church. How many do pray for the pastor every day? Oh, man, that's a good amount of folks who pray for you. No wonder you're still here.
Yes, amen.
I thought you'd have been gone long ago, but you're still here. Amen. And you need to uphold him in prayer. Now, many of you have been through storms. Some are going through storms right now. If you haven't and you're not, yours is in the mail, okay? Pretty soon, you will experience a storm in your life as a Christian. Now, I put this chorus up here. I thought you might know it, and we were going to sing it. Do you know it, Jason? No? Okay, so we won't sing it. But those are good words, by the way. And he is the Lord in charge of our storms, and that's what we need to know, okay? Now, we're going to talk about the storms of life, and we're going to give you a statement of faith for when you go through the storms, because you will, sooner or later, go through a storm. And one of the things that you need to know is this: a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Can you say that with me, everybody? A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Every time you see that appear, I want you to repeat those words, if you would, please. Now, We need to work out a statement of faith for the storms of life. Sooner or later, they're coming our way, and so we need to be prepared. And this passage of Scripture, I think, gives several principles to give us a statement of faith for the storms of life. When you find yourself in the storm, you need to know where to go in the Word of God. You need to know how to reach God in prayer. And you need to allow Him to minister through and into your life. It's very important and imperative that you know this, because all of us sooner or later need the Lord in a difficult situation. I know your pastor has been praying. How long has this been you've been having treatments and so forth?
10 years.
10 years. Now, again, the average person doesn't go 10 years. And so your prayers and
4 years. Expected lifespan of someone with a
diabetes. Oh, is that right? Expected lifespan is 4 years for someone who has what he has, but he's been 10 years, so your prayers have been effective. Our prayer, I like it, because our prayers have also been effective. It is part of what's happening here. So, Article 1 in our statement of faith is this: He brought me here. You know, there's no such thing as an accident in the Christian's life. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." What you need to remember is this, that our storms are his appointments. He's not surprised. He didn't wake up one day 10 years ago and say, "Oh, I didn't know Brother Freeman was going to have cancer. I didn't know he was going to have 10 years of trials and testing." He didn't wake up one morning and say, "Whoever you are," that he didn't know that you were going to go through that. In fact, sometimes he appoints us to go through trials. He knew that there was a storm coming. Are you listening? He's not surprised by anything. He doesn't have an eraser on his pencil. He doesn't ever wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, wow, I didn't know the weather was going to be like that today." He's in charge of the weather. He's a sovereign God. Amen.
Yes.
Come on, folks. Amen. Okay, all right. I want to get you with me here. Now, hey, remember that statement that we all need to say every time it appears on the screen. There it is. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God tests our faith to see if we trust Him and to see if our faith is genuine. Is our faith something that comes and goes based on our circumstances? God, of course, knows everything, so He knows us, but He wants us to know whether or not we can be faithful in a time of storm, in a difficult time in our life. Now, the disciples had just witnessed the spectacular feeding of the multitudes by the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt, they were glorying in the fact that, boy, now I'm a part of something big. The Lord fed 5,000 people miraculously, and they're enjoying the heady wine of that tremendous experience, and the crowds are there, the multitudes are all happy now because they went away full. And Jesus sends them into a storm. And I'm sure they would have preferred to stay there and enjoy. In fact, the Bible even tells us over in John chapter 6 and verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone." They were ready to crown him right then and there. The problem is, it wasn't his time to be king. He offered himself as king to the nation of Israel. He came unto his own received him not. But thank God, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Aren't you glad for that?
Yes.
I said, aren't you glad for that?
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad you're glad, and I'm glad you can express that gladness. Now, the Bible says here that he constrained them to go away. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, knowing that a storm was on its way in the Sea of Galilee." I've been out there on the Sea of Galilee twice now, and they tell me, and fortunately we didn't have any storms, but they tell me because it's kind of like a bowl-shaped area where the Sea of Galilee nests in the bottom, they tell me that the storms whip up real quickly there and can get pretty violent. And so he sends them out there knowing what's going to happen. Now, when things are going well and God is blessing us, we have a tendency to become satisfied, to become complacent, to say, oh, well, you know, things are going great, and that's the way it'll always be. No. These guys were enjoying the popularity of being associated with the one who had just fed 5,000 miraculously, and now suddenly things are going to change. Sometimes the Lord has to push us out of our complacency and our comfortable state in order that we might grow in faith in Him. Now, the next time you find yourself in a storm, you need to remember that God was not surprised, and that in all likelihood, He placed you in that storm. And so, not only is He not surprised, but He wants you to grow as a result of that storm. I can guarantee, how many would admit that when you're having difficulties, you spend more time in prayer than ordinarily? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, that's true of almost every Christian. We go to prayer. I'm sure your pastor has spent many hours in prayer, knowing that he's in the middle of a storm and that only God can help. The doctors can do something. The nurses can help. His wife can comfort him. The family members and church members pray for him and so forth. But he knows ultimately he's in God's hand. And as a result of that, he needs to trust him more, and he will go to him more often. You need to remind yourself when you're in a storm that he brought you there. Number two, article number two, he sees my circumstances. He knows all about it. Look at verse 24 and 25. It says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Our storms are his concern. Preacher, not only is the Lord not surprised about your circumstances, but he's concerned about your circumstances. Amen. He loves you. He sent his Holy Spirit to indwell you. You know, if we are the vessels of the Holy Spirit of God, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he's concerned about everything that we go through. And so these storms that come our way, these circumstances that upset us, concern him deeply. And remember, say it together with me, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. So he is testing your faith in that storm, whatever it might be. He sent them away when things were going well. The weather was calm when they left. And now the storm came. And now they're kind of upset. They're being tossed around in the Sea of Galilee. And he didn't come with them to protect them as he had done before. Now, there are a couple of other storms in the Bible that Jesus went through with his disciples. Number one, he went with them in a boat in calm water in the morning, and he was on board. Now, I'm sure they felt pretty comfortable in that situation because Christ is there. By the way, Christ never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't come and go. He resides within us. He is always on board, if you please. Number two, they were out in a storm at night, and Jesus was asleep on board. Now, that time, they got a little bit more upset. Carest thou not that we perish? Of course he cares. And they should have, by this time, they should have known that he cares for them. Number three, now, they're in a storm at night in the fourth watch, the Bible says, and Jesus is not on board. Now, what is he doing? He's testing them and helping them to grow in their faith. Number one, Jesus was present. Number two, he was asleep. And of course, they woke him up and then he calmed the sea. And now, Jesus is not there. He's not in the boat with them. They're in the middle of a storm-tossed sea. The wind is boisterous. The waves are splashing up against the boat and probably filling part of the boat with water. Now, our response to storms is crucial. How do we respond when we're going through a difficult time? He sees our circumstances. He's concerned about it. But what about us? We're not adrift at sea without someone who is concerned about us, who has the power to control our circumstances. 4 years, huh? That's what they said. Shows doctors don't know everything. But the Lord does know everything.
They call my situation remarkable.
Yeah.
That's the word they use.
Remarkable. Yeah. In other words, they can't explain it. So many times I've seen and heard stories about doctors who've told patients, you only have 6 months. We had a lady in our church. They gave her 6 months to live. She lived 20 years after that. And she was a blessing in our church. And her name was Mrs. Troxell. What a blessing she was. She kept going back, having more surgery, more tumors taken out, and so forth and so on. And then finally, no more tumors, and she lived 20 years before she went home to be with the Lord, and she was up in years. The disciples are to be commended at least for not turning back. Here they are out there. When the wind started blowing and the lightning started flashing and the seas got, you know, like in a turmoil, they didn't say, oh, we better get back to shore. They didn't do that, so we commend them for that. But maybe they couldn't, of course. In spite of the storm, they kept on going. I have a statement for you. Trouble and testing should never deter us from duty. I want you to get that in your heart, in your mind. Trouble and testing should never... My son died, and he was 39 years of age. Some of you know the story. And I was scheduled to be preaching in a church over in New Jersey that Sunday. And the pastor called me up and he said, Preacher, he said, you don't have to come. He said, I know what you're going through and so forth. He said, you don't have to come this week. I said, no. I said, I've preached all over the country that trouble and trials should not deter us from duty. It's my duty to be there, and Lord willing, I'll be there. And I did. And the next week, the same happened with another preacher. He called me, told me, you don't have to come. I said, no, I want to come. It's my duty to do that. Whatever your God-given duties and responsibilities are, should not cause you, a storm should not cause you to detour away from your duties. If you're a husband, you're a wife, whatever your first responsibilities are, you should not. You know what I can't figure out, preacher? Is people go through difficult times, they don't come to church.
Yeah,
the worst time in the world for you to stay home is when you've got a problem that you need the Lord to deal with. So you need to stay with your assigned duty. If I had taught Sunday school this morning, I was going to teach on the subject of you can ask to change seats, but in other words, a lot of people want to, you know, get out from under their responsibilities just because they're having a difficult time. But God says, no, that's not what I want for you. I want you to learn to be content in whatsoever state you find yourself. And by the way, your pastor is a shining example of someone who in these 10 years has stayed faithful to his duty in spite of the hardships that he's been enduring. I was shocked yesterday when I got the phone call and he said, as soon as I knew it was him, I knew I was going to be here today. I knew he wasn't just calling the chat. And to pass the time of day. And so he called, and pretty soon he said, you know, are you available tomorrow? And I thought for just a second, because usually I'm preaching somewhere, and I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm free. So here I am. But your pastor has stayed by the stuff. He hasn't resigned. He hasn't quit. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't leave his wife. You know, I mean, people do it. Yeah, you're not going to find another one like her, brother. Amen. Article number 3. Let's look at it. He is praying for me. Notice this. He went up into a mountain to pray, the Bible says, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Our storms are his burden. You know what's tremendous? Not only are these folks praying for you, and I'm praying for you, my wife's praying for you, but the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. You know, we often talk about the past work of our Savior, that he died on the cross for us. That's wonderful. How about his present ministry? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I like that. To know, you know, oftentimes when I was in the pastoral ministry, we had a large church, you know, and on the way out, people would tell me something they'd ask me to pray for them. I'd say, okay, I'll pray for you. And you know, sometimes I would forget. He never forgets. Now, listen to me. I finally caught it. I finally got it up here. People would tell me about a situation. They'd say, will you pray for me? I said, let's pray right now. Let's do it right now because I can't be trusted. But the Lord never forgets our needs, our heartaches, our sorrows, and our storms. By the way, say it with me.
Faith that cannot be tested.
All right. I think you're getting it finally. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Our storms become his burden. Now, between the time when Jesus sent his disciples away in the ship and the howling winds and the contrary waves, there was a prayer vigil going on a mountaintop. Jesus was praying. I have no doubt in my mind that he was praying for them. He knew how weak they were. He knows how weak we are. He knows when something goes wrong, we, you know, our first impulse is, where's the Lord? Where are you, Lord? I just preached a message recently, where was God? And, you know, we think of times like, where was God on 9/11? Where was God when my son died? Where was God when the preacher has cancer? Where, you know, he's always faithful and he's always there. He doesn't abdicate his throne just because we've got a problem. And we need to understand that. Now, when his disciples went to sea, Jesus went to prayer. And I like that because he knew what they were facing. He is our high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. I like this. Jesus is always above our storms. He's up in heaven. Storms do not affect him at all. And of course, he's God. He has all power. By the way, the horrible weather situations we see in the world today, I believe are part of the fact that our Lord is a little bit upset with not only America, but most of the nations of the world who have been thumbing our nose at him for many years. And he is in charge of the weather. I just got finished reading a book called As America Has Done to Israel. Israel is God's prophetic timepiece. And whenever we make a bad decision against Israel, not to support them, then the next day or even the same day, some catastrophic event happens in America. Wildfires, earthquakes, tornadoes all over the place. Crazy weather. I don't know about you, but I didn't like this winter. Hello. I'm not looking forward to the next one. I'm 81. I know I only look 60, but I'm 81. And my wife thinks I look 81. Anyway, you know, I get up in the morning and, you know, it's like getting resurrected every day now. And some of them are going, they know they're there. But listen, what we need to do is realize that he is always above our storms. They don't affect him, but he controls the weather. If you ever want to read a fascinating book, get a hold of that book, As America Has Done to Israel. It is documented on the headlines of the world newspapers, what happens when America makes a stupid decision against God's chosen people. All right, the next one. Article number 4. He will speak to me. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. There's something special. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for, what's the next word?
Fear.
They're scared to death, no wonder. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, our storms are his opportunities. And he wants to speak to us. Here Jesus is walking on the water. I don't think we get the picture. You know, we just read these words, and this isn't a calm sea and flat like this floor. These waves are going up and down like this, and Jesus is walking on top of them. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. And no wonder they're afraid, and they said, "It's a ghost, it's a spirit." They didn't get it. And then Jesus said, this is interesting, he said, "It is I." He didn't say it's the Lord Jesus. He just said, "It is I." Did you ever you ever get a phone call and you don't know who it is, and they'll say, "Hey, this is me."
Yeah, right.
What? What, I'm supposed to guess? I do have more than one friend. Hey, this is me. No, what they're expecting is that you recognize their voice. And when he said, "It is I," he knew they would recognize who it was. And by the way, they knew nobody else could walk on water like the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, so our storms are his opportunities. Remember this, say it with me. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Now, it's in the storms that we look for the Lord more than in our daily life. Now, I do like the Lord's so-called Lord's Prayer. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." He doesn't say, you know, give us enough bread for the next year. It's a daily experience with him. And we need to be looking for him. And it's in the storms that he comes to us. Notice what it says. It says, "And Jesus went to them walking on the sea." I read a stupid article, by the way. I have it here. A scientist suggests that Jesus walked on ice in the Sea of Galilee. Are you kidding? You know, their weather isn't like our weather here. Think about that, walking on ice. The waves are going up and down, so apparently he was boarding or surfing on the ice. How stupid can you get? How many problems would this create? First of all, if the lake was frozen over, how are they in the ship rowing to the other side? Number two, maybe he had an ice sidewalk from the shore out to the middle of the lake. I don't think so. Or maybe he found a little piece of ice that he could surf on. No, I don't think so. That's how stupid scientists are.
Yes.
And I know your pastor is big on creation. And by the way, there's no other explanation for all that we see in this universe but the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was not a God, but is God. Now, let me just say something. We're knocking on door. Every Saturday we go soul winning, and we were going up in the Princeton area. Now our church has moved a little south, and so in the Princeton area we met a bunch of professors and students from Princeton University, and they were hard. But now we go knock on a door, and this lady answers the door. We had some pretty good visits. I had led two people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that day. So I was feeling pretty good. My partner, a former member of our church at Faith Baptist, was with me. And he said, "Let's get one more house." So we knock on the door. This lady comes to the door. And it's his turn to talk. So I said, "Okay, Frank, you take this one." So he hands her a track. We have these smiley tracks. I'll give you one after the service. I know you're a good track man. And my pastor carries a track rack in his car all the time. So he always has the right track. Anyway, the track has a smiley face on it. It says, "Something to smile about." And so we hand it to him. Here's something for you to smile about. This lady says, "I don't want that." And so my partner says, "Don't worry, ma'am, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses." And she says, "I am." And And so we asked her if she had a Bible. We wanted to show her some things in the Bible. And so she goes and gets her Bible. It's the New World Translation, the Jehovah's Witness Bible. And so I took her to John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word in their Bible says a God. Then I showed her in the King James Bible that it is, that He is God. Not a God, but the God. And she couldn't understand that because she said, there's no difference between these Bibles. I said, it's a big difference that He's not just a God. He's the God. And He's the creator of the world. To make a long story short, know this. That the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And if He's God, He's omnipotent. If He's God, He's omniscient. He knows about your storms. He knows about your problems. He knows what you're going through every minute of every day, because a duplicate of the Lord Jesus Christ lives within you called the Holy Ghost. And the King James Bible, by the way, often uses the term Holy Ghost, and these other versions always change it to Holy Spirit. A ghost is the alter ego of a person, or the alter image of a person, and the Holy Spirit is just that, and He lives inside of each one of us. You can't get any closer than on the inside. And so I'm glad that our storms are His opportunities, and He speaks to us. He said, it is I. Now, know this. We are never alone in the storm. Aren't you glad for that, preacher? I mean, I know your wife is right there by your side. Wonderful lady. But even closer is the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife's going through 4 years of difficulty, lots of pain, and I can see she's in pain right now. I can read it because I'm with her all the time. And sometimes the pain is excruciating, and I'm there to help her. I'm her caregiver. I have to do just about everything for her now. I even have to cook, and I don't cook. And you don't want to eat what I cook. So I decided I'm not cooking. We're going to have to find another plan to feed us. We haven't lost any weight, so things are going well. Now, the whole thing is this. As close as I am to her and being her caregiver, she has somebody closer than I.
Yes.
She has the Lord Jesus Christ in her heart. She got saved when she was 11 years old. She had a more intimate relationship with Him. I didn't get saved till I was 22 years of age. So all those years she learned to walk with Him, and now she has to walk with Him on a moment-by-moment basis. When I can't help her, and God knows I'm supposed to help her, but when I can't help her, He can. And He does. And she's been getting through some very difficult times as a result. Now, you ever go to a hospital, preacher, to visit one of your members? And on the table, you know, in the hospital table, you see a magazine, a newspaper, no Bible. What is that about? Why in the world, when they're in the hospital, wouldn't they have God's Word there to try to comfort them, help them? After I had my open heart surgery, had a quadruple bypass, and I didn't know anybody. I was laying there, and my family was around me. I didn't recognize any of them. And all of a sudden, I began to remember verses that I didn't even know I knew. And they just calmed my fears and calmed my heart. I didn't know anybody else, but I knew the Lord. And He brought to my mind verses that I didn't even know I knew. And what a blessing. By the way, if you don't store some of God's Word in your heart now, you're not going to have that that accessibility that you need when you're going through the storm. Now's a good time. I like that you're trying to get people to memorize Scripture here on Sunday mornings and Sunday school. Now, it's interesting that when they were afraid, His voice gave them peace. It is I. And suddenly they got calm. It's also interesting that all He said was, it is I. And they knew Him enough that He didn't have to, you know, go through a long, lengthy discussion about who He was and what He had done. Article number 5, He will help me to grow. Our storms are His classroom. He's trying to teach us something in those storms. I want you to look, please, at verse 28. Verse 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." Now, remember this saying. Say it again with me. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Now the Lord is testing Peter's faith. And Peter kind of tests the Lord and said, "Hey, if it's really you, let me come out there and walk on water with you." Now, most of us would say, "That was pretty stupid, Peter." Nobody walks on water but the Lord. But he said, "Hey, Lord, if it's really you, you can help me through this." And that's true for everyone in this room. Whatever you're going through, the Lord can help you through this. Maybe that storm is there just to teach you something. In Peter's case, it was to teach him to walk on water. And Peter learned to walk on water. In fact, Peter holds the World Guinness Book of Records for walking on water. Nobody's ever done that but Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, Jason, would you come up here? I want you to stand right about here in the middle. And I want you to kind of get a visual picture of what went on here. Now, I, of course, will be Peter. He will be the Lord Jesus, okay? Now, Peter, look at the verse again in verse 28. Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." I don't know what the distance was between the ship and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 29, "And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now, he had his eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm Peter, and I'm in the ship. Now, any fisherman, and Peter was a fisherman, any fisherman knows that when there's a storm, the safest place is on board the ship, not over the side. But Peter, as impetuous as he often was, says, "Lord, if it be thou, I'm going to trust you. I want to come out there." So Peter goes like this. And I don't know whether he, you know, did one of these, you know, to test to see if it's going to hold or not. But remember, this is not a calm sea. The waves are going, the boat's going up and down, and Peter's about to get out of the boat. How stupid is that? But wait, he has his eyes on the Lord. And finally, he puts his foot down, and he's walking on water. And he's going out there, and he's got his eyes on the Lord. And he sees Jesus, and, you know, Jesus had already invited him to come. So here he goes. And then all of a sudden, he looks around, and he sees the wind and the waves. And he loses his faith. He starts to go under. And he says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately, come on, what kind of Jesus are you anyway? All right, now take me back to the boat. Okay. Man, I'm glad you're not Jesus. He would have dropped me. I would have drowned. Now, I want you to get this picture. Remember that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Peter now has found out that by trusting in the Lord, he was able to walk on water. As soon as he got his eyes off the Lord and onto his circumstances, he failed. Whenever you trust yourself to get out of your jam, you're gone under. Now the good news is, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." He went to the right person, didn't he? He didn't call back to the disciples in the boat and say, Hey fellas, throw me a lifeline, throw me a preserver. No, he says, "Lord," he knew who he was talking to, "Lord, save me." I still have a hard time visualizing this picture because the waves are going all over the place. And I don't know how one minute he would see Jesus, the next minute he wouldn't see Jesus. You know, they're going up and down. And then he goes under and finally he says, "Lord, save me." And the good news is the Lord heard his prayer. Amen. By the way, the Lord hears your prayer also. If your heart is in fellowship with him, and you're going through a difficult time, the Lord hears your prayer. Honestly, have there been times when It's been very difficult to just trust, of course, because you're human, you're flesh. And in your flesh, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. No matter how spiritual we get, we're still flesh. And we doubt sometimes. And we, just like Peter, we start to sink on our own if we're not careful. Now, by the way, I was going to use Bill for that illustration. But he was closer to the aisle, so we got to take it care of.
He would have held you better, I think.
Huh?
He would have held you up better, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. You'd have made a better Jesus than he would. I don't know. Anyway, I'm thinking about Peter and the other disciples. Maybe later on, you know, they're all around a campfire or whatever at night, and they start razzing Peter because he went down. And Peter said, "That's all right. At least I walked on water. You guys didn't." And by the way, you ought to have a testimony about God's saving grace and about God's sustaining grace also. Because he's bailed you out more than once. If you're the average Christian, he's bailed you out numerous times. Number six, he will see me through. I want you to look, please, at verses 31 to 33. We're almost done. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know, up in heaven, the Lord hears our prayers. We're going through a difficult time. And then he sees us fail. We no longer trusting him. We're trying to work it out on our own merits, you know, and the best we can think to get this problem solved. And so there's a rebuke from the Holy Spirit. Why do you doubt me? Why don't you just trust me in spite of the circumstances? I'm able to help you walk on water. Amen. Our storms, by the way, are for his glory. And say it with me, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. He's just given Peter a lesson on water walking. He could not have ever walked on water without the storm, because Jesus wouldn't have been there without the storm. But because Jesus saw the storm, he got out there on the water, and then he helped Peter to walk on water. He's given the other disciples a lesson in trusting him when there's no other help or hope available. We need to get to the place where we get the end of ourselves and just completely trust him. Now wait. That doesn't mean that we don't get cancer treatments, that we don't use medication. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about asking God what he would have us to do and then trust him implicitly for the outcome. That's all. The hardest thing for a believer, I believe, is just to trust him every day, in every way, for every circumstance in our lives. Because we're flesh, we just don't have it within us to just say, "Okay, Lord, you can handle it. And I'm expecting you to do so." And by the way, when we give him the praise, I want you to notice what it says in verse 32. It says, "And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now that glorifies the Lord. My Bible says this, that God inhabits the praises of his people. How often do you praise him? Pastor Doug Fisher out there in California, I believe the success of his mushrooming church is this. Once a month, or more often sometimes, they have just a praise service. He says, "I'll preach maybe 10, 15 minutes just to set the stage for the..." And then he said, "Sometimes the evening service on Sunday night will just go, or Wednesday night, will just go to midnight." He said, "People are free to leave, you know, if they have other obligations." But he said, "The service would just go on and on." And it is a praising church. And I believe God blesses our praise. He inhabiteth the praises of his people. How often do you praise the Lord instead of complain? I don't know about you, but I complain sometimes, especially if I'm driving. I want to be first. Get out of my way, you know. And I'm one of those bad drivers that you contend with every day. But I can't believe that people who live in Pennsylvania don't know that they can make a right turn on a red light. And I sit in back of, now, excuse me, ladies, but there's a woman in front of me, and she's sitting at the red light. She doesn't know she can make a right turn, and she's combing her hair, and she's putting on makeup, and I'm going ballistic. I want to move, lady! But that's how impatient I am. I hope you're not like me. Now, God has been teaching me patience for the last 4 years with my wife. I'm not the most patient person. And I have not arrived yet. But I thank God that He has been teaching me lessons on being patient. And I have grown in that area. And I hope you will. And I give God the glory for that. Not take any for myself. Now, when He calmed the waves, the disciples were no doubt in awe of Him. You know, He gets in the boat. Notice that last verse 32. And when they were coming to the ship, that's Peter and Jesus, the wind ceased. Then, when they saw that, they that were in the ship came and worshiped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Now, in Matthew 8:27, it says this, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" Hey, He created the wind and the sea. Of course they obey Him. They do whatever He says they should do. And the next time you complain about the weather, maybe you ought to think about that. That's a rebuke to me, I know, because I can't stand cold weather. I hate it anymore. And so I have a tendency, oh man, another day, it's 20 degrees, I can't handle this. And I've gotten kind of over that whole concept, and I just want to praise the Lord regardless. Now, what He deserves is what the disciples gave Him here, their praise and worship. You know, what is worship? Worship is simply bowing the knee to the Lord. It's allowing Him to have authority and control in your life. Worship is doing whatever He tells us to do in His Word. Worship is this, surrender. Okay, Lord, that's what You say, that's what I'll do. That's worship. Worship isn't when we gather together here and sing praise and so forth, although that's part of it. But real worship is doing the will of God. And these people now were in a situation where they were willing to worship Him. Now, He alone deserves our worship. Your pastor doesn't deserve your worship. Now, it doesn't hurt if you praise Him once in a while, as long as He doesn't get a big head. But it doesn't hurt if you let Him know that He's been a blessing to you. In fact, during what he's been going through, maybe that would be a real encouragement to Him. I try to be an encouragement to my wife. She encourages me oftentimes. And I appreciate that. But I don't worship my wife. I only worship the Lord. And I trust that you do as well. Now, here's a statement of faith for the storms of life, which every believer has access to whenever he's being tested. That list that I gave you, these six things, you need to remember the next time you're going through a storm. By the way, don't expect the Lord's protection or provision, Him to take care of your needs, if you're not obedient to His word. You're going to have a baptismal service here next Sunday. Some of you folks are saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. Hey, you can't expect God to bail you out in a storm if you're not willing to obey Him. The Bible says that you need to be baptized after you're saved. That's the first step of obedience for the Christian life. Man, I was never so happy when I didn't understand. I didn't get it to about 3 months after I was saved that I needed to get baptized. In fact, I didn't get to church for about a month because I got saved in a tent meeting and I didn't know where to go or what to do. And finally, a preacher knocked on my door and then he taught a lesson. lesson in Sunday school about getting baptized. I said, man, that's new to me. And I said, yeah, I want to do that. If that's what God says, that's what I want to do. Hey, what we just did here this morning with the Lord's Supper, that's part of being obedient. He said, this do in remembrance of me. So be obedient in whatever area he tells you to. And then God can bless you and bail you out. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And so God is testing our faith. He's also testing our obedience. Don't expect to go to heaven, by the way, if you don't obey the Lord's command to be born again. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Jesus commands, ye must be born again. If you can't remember a time and a place in your life when you received Christ as Savior, why don't you make today the time and this the place, and then you can obey Him and He can bless you. Now, oops, I'm sorry. That's not going to work. Anyway, I blew it. Bottom line is, and you're not supposed to see all that. See, that's all the mechanics. But listen to me. Number one, Christian, learn to be obedient and He'll bless your life. Learn to surrender to Him, and then He can control your destiny and your future. Unsaved person, the first thing you need to do is receive Christ as your personal Savior. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for God's people who are here this morning. And we ask, Lord, that each one of them will do whatever the Holy Spirit of God tells them to do today. Lord, there are people here who are not trusting you the way they should. They're part of your family, but they're disobedient children. And Lord, maybe you've revealed something to them this morning where they need to be obedient. Help them to do so, because unless they're obedient, you will not bail them out of their circumstances. Lord, I pray that you would help every Christian here to examine themselves and say, hey, am I a praising, worshiping Christian and an obedient child of God? And then if you're here without Christ as Savior, I want to pray for you right now. If you can't remember a time and a place when you received Jesus as your Savior, why don't you make today the time and this the place? And I'm going to ask you right now, if you're like that, if you're not sure that you're saved, would you slip up your hand right now, please? Would you do that I could pray for you? Anyone like that? Okay, Christian, how's it going with you? Why don't you play I Surrender All, brother? I wonder if you've surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what real worship is. I'm going to ask you to stand quietly, please. Would you do that? Would you stand right now? And I want you to listen closely to what I'm going to ask you to do. If there's an area in your life, whether it be believer's baptism or some other thing, where you know the Bible teaches something and you haven't been obedient, I want you to just slip up and say, preacher, pray for me. Would you do that right now, please? Anybody like that? You say, hey, I need to be baptized, or I need to be a member of this church, or whatever it is that God wants you to do. I need to serve Him. I need to pass out tracts. I need to be a soul winner. Would you lift your hand if you're like that, please? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Amen, sister. God bless you. Who else? Way up high, please. Yes, sir. God bless you. Amen, young man. This is the time to make those decisions when you're young. Dear Father in heaven, turn the remainder of the service over to you and ask you to lead God's people to do whatever they should do. And then I pray that if anybody's here without Christ, that they won't leave this building until they receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And
816
amen.
In your new book. I want to give an opportunity to that if you need to make some decisions here today. 816. Have done your way, Lord. It's all the way to the back. And all the way to the back with your book. If you need to get saved, we'd love to help you get saved. You want to step right down, meet me down front here. If you need to get baptized, you say, you know what, I haven't been baptized yet, I want to make that decision, though. Step right out here.
preach the war, the word of God to us, and spill out of your heart what we're putting inside there, so that it would bless us. Tonight at 6:30, on your way out, put all your money in the love offering box, and that'll take care of that. No, let's be liberal in our giving, and conservative in our patriotism, but liberal in our giving.
Amen.
Yeah, all right. And let's pay for the preacher for him coming here today and taking care of us. All right. Who would like to close with prayer? Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Amen.